muscles staying strong while I'm going and I'm striving. I'm relying on myself for as long as I'm surviving. Yeah. Taking no excuses because your words are just useless. What? Kick off the dust and let's do this.
Hello and welcome to Remedy, A Human Awakening, a forum where we discuss the challenges we face as humans navigating today's fast-paced modern society. Heroes matter. And as it pertains to mental toughness, there are certain character traits that we should aspire to. Those character traits are demonstrated by the heroes we look up to. The goal is not to make you SEAL ready. The goal is to make you life ready. Life is nasty, brutish, and short. It is unfair. It is offensive. It is hard. It is riddled with unexpected obstacles and inconveniences. Oftentimes, those inconveniences are perceived as actual problems, when in fact they are just inconveniences or temporary setbacks. The hero you aspire to be knows the difference and reacts accordingly. That's from Dan Crenshaw in his book, Fortitude, which we've quoted several times on this podcast. And welcome to episode 13, where we're going to talk about heroes. So I really wanted to take a moment to start this podcast off with that quote from him as I was going through a chapter he had in that book and trying to spur some thoughts and things I wanted to talk about today. As we catch back up, I have Corey here with me today. And so that's what I wanted to start with. And what we're going to cover today is talking about heroes. I think they play a really important role in society, in both fictional aspects, as well as, actual figures, like truly heroic people, versus Superman, who's a fictional superhero. To say that you can't still believe in Superman and all his powers. I'm not downplaying that if that's your jam. But I think there's also some people in current times that can be considered heroes. And then also the danger of labeling acts or people as heroic or heroes themselves, and maybe they didn't deserve it. So that's going to be the topic that we're discussing today. And because Corey made me restart this whole thing over again because of the way I started the last one, I did want to point out the fact, because I'm really excited about it, but it's now more appropriate that I've set that intro. I just got way ahead of myself the last time. We're super excited because we have the Rodecaster Pro that we've been doing multiple episodes on now, and we just haven't used it to its full potential until now. We finally downloaded the intro button, so I can hit this button. It plays that song. It's got my voice in there. I don't have to read that every time. Although I almost just did it again. We recorded this not too long ago, just a couple minutes ago, and then restarted it again. And I almost started reading that shit right as soon as I hit the music. And I was like, oh yeah. So anyways, Remedy, Human Awakening thing. Cause I have it written at the top of my notes. I have to read it every time up until today. So we spent the time when Corey and I got together today to record that intro. And he edited it, put it all together. We downloaded it into the Rodecaster, and now we push this fancy button and it does that magic at the beginning. So hope you all enjoyed that. That's hard work on Corey's part right there.
It's amazing when you actually use the expensive tools you buy.
We've been using it, but we've been not only using, like, we left a lot on the table.
Oh, I think there still is. But yeah, we definitely improved our workflow.
Yes, I made Corey's life easier right there by making it a hell for a short few minutes here. So one of these days we're going to use the feature. Well, we might have callers call in. That's pretty cool. Yeah, we're not there yet, folks.
I guess in this instance, the Rodecaster Pro is my hero. It because is. It literally just saved me a few hours a month of work.
Yeah, no doubt. Because now we're recording this to his computer with a backup through the Rodecaster, and he can just go home and hit send.
I can literally just schedule the podcast to post before I leave here. So it's 100% done.
I'm going to have to write a description then.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get that. You people don't need to know the behind the scenes stuff. That's radio industry jargon right there. You don't need to know the delicate ins and outs. Well, let's talk about heroes today, buddy, since you're kind of mine. Yeah.
So we're lying to people. Got it.
Yeah. We're going to just start it off with just some untruths there.
I think
what comes to mind for you when I say the word hero?
A lot, right? I think you could look at a family dynamic, someone that is, say, struggling with some type of advanced ailment or illness. And their persistency or their drive to continue to fight in the face of like some great adversity, whether it's, I mean, I have a friend that's family members fighting advanced pancreatic cancer that spread to their lungs, right? You know, and going through all these different types of procedures and you know, I guess new treatments, you know, trying to save their life, if you will, or prolong it for whatever capacity that they can. Like some would say that's heroic, but then, you know, a firefighter, you know, running into a burning building with little to no certainty on what's on the other side in hopes of doing good in the name of someone else. Yeah. That's heroic, right?
I would say like the biggest example I can think of something like that is 9/11, the 311 that perished, just firefighters alone, the videos and everything that you've seen come out from that, where everybody's running down the stairs and they're running up the stairs of the World Trade Centers and the towers there. And not knowing what they're running into, but it's just not good. And they still chose to do that. So I think we have lots of examples of heroics, and I don't disagree with you on somebody that's going through that stuff. However, if you're doing it for yourself, you're battling cancer and you're going through treatments and you're waging that war, is it heroic because it's for you?
I guess that's where you get into like the psychology portion of it, right? What is the intent behind the action? Like, is that firefighter doing it for fear of being judged by others for not going in and taking that risk? Is it because he doesn't want to tell that screaming woman in the front yard, I can't go in and save your baby? Like, does he not want to be a coward in that moment? Right. Like there's a lot of contributing factors that would motivate someone to do something that is considered heroic. And then on the other side of that, I think heroic's a very subjective thing. Right. I mean, we're in Pride Month and someone coming out and saying that they're homosexual, right? You know, a lot of people would say that's heroic, you know, because of the backlash or the adversity they might face.
Right.
You know, so it's, I think it's hard.
Yeah. And then just even on that topic, as times have changed, was it more heroic 20 or 30 years ago than it is now? I mean, I'm not downplaying what it is for somebody to still come out. However, and a lot of that would depend on family dynamics and cultural dynamics and a lot of other things, but it is certainly...
well, a simple analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple analogy in that situations, right, is... a neighbor, right? Say like your neighbor's house is on fire.
Yeah.
Is it more heroic for you and which shorts neighbor? And a flip flop?
Because one of them, I'll just let that fucker burn.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Not the one I'm pointing at.
Okay.
But the fact that you're in shorts and flip flops, right? Versus a firefighter that's geared up, you know, it's got a helmet and he's got an oxygen tank, right?
Water.
What's more heroic?
Sure.
Right. So.
Yeah. I feel like the definition has to include in some fact, like a personal injury element, you know. I'll give you an example from earlier in my career. I, for those that don't know, I did spend over 20 years in law enforcement. I started in 1997. So we were going through active shooter training. It was right after Columbine. The police response was changing to people that were going in and actively shooting. They call it active shooter stuff. That had started happening. The response prior to that was to sit around. You would go surround a building and wait for your SWAT team to get there. And that takes a very long time. And so the method of thinking was that we're all trained police officers. We have skills. We hopefully have some better than average weapons in some cases. And over the years, we started to equip ourselves to be more responsive to things like that. And so, you know, with body armor, better body armor and helmets and some different, you know, mass casualty kits and shit like that. So early on, we were having a training at a middle school while the school was out, and we were all sitting in half of our department was there. The other half was working. And so they're sitting there, having a discussion about these are what we're going to train you to do. We are going to train you to, we're at a school. And, if somebody comes into this school and starts shooting up and you're the first couple officers on scene, two or three, or possibly even one, we're going to train you to go take the fight to that person. You're not going to go sit out in your car and wait for lots and lots more people to come or the SWAT team, because it's all over and done with. And so your task would be to save as many lives as possible, like to prevent more loss of life by your presence. And how are we going to do that? And I'll never forget this. And it was a school resource officer who raised his hand and was like, I'm sorry, but that's not what I get paid to do. And I was like, what the fuck do you get paid to do? Because it's not sit at a school and fucking hang out with middle schoolers all day. Like, what we're all hoping for is we never get paid to do that. But that's exactly what you get paid to fucking do, is the shit that can't be done by other people. And I'm not saying that, like, once the SWAT team gets there, that that's not a better option for that stuff. They have more equipment and training than we do, but you have the training and equipment that the other civilians don't. And so your very fucking job is to do exactly that. And I thought how anti-heroic that was. Why are you in this profession? What else have you decided in your mind you won't do when it comes to, yeah, I don't get paid to do that. What? Like, what other things?
Well, let's strip that down for a second, right? Because I think it's really important. I think it actually highlights one of the biggest issues, I think, that's taking place today with the word hero.
Mm-hmm.
And how some would say there's too many heroes, there's unjustified heroes, there's not enough heroes. Mm-hmm. You know, that a firefighter is not heroic, but someone that comes out against something else may be heroic, or a whistleblower is heroic, right? Or what have you. I'm sure in that job description for that resource officer, it does not say that you are willing to put your life on your line to combat an active shooter.
Sure.
Right. So that's the extreme.
Right.
But I think for most people, I think it's reasonable to make the assessment that it's implied that up to any point and level, up to including, you know, potentially giving your life and the preservation of others, mm-hmm. falls in line with that type of job. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like one of these, I think it's one of those things where, because I think I'm 12 years younger than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 46. So
yeah. And I'm 35. So,
you just said, yeah, now I got to do math.
It's 11.
Yeah.
But, but anyways,
carry the one.
It's, I think there's like this generational thing that's been happening where my generation, it's police officers, we'll use them as an example, right? Mm-hmm. Could do no wrong, right? Mm-hmm. They are heroes that they have signed up to do this thing. But I think as time goes on, and these issues that they're combating on the streets and institutions and things like that are getting, I would say, more aggressive or more life-threatening,
mm-hmm.
in some capacity, it's showing that not all those people signed up for that, even though you would think that it's implied with the job.
Right.
Right. They're like, hey, I'm not going to that. Like, you can look at the school shooting that happened in Florida, right?
I was thinking of that as I was putting that out, because that is actually the situation that happened in Parkland. Is the school resource officer there failed to act. Like, he literally didn't. And I believe he's being charged with, I know he was fired for it for sure. I think he's being charged with a crime.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on it, but I do believe he's being charged with, something,
yeah,
in that. So to your point, I would say that the people that work at the school, there are people in those schools that have done extremely heroic things, if we're going to point that out. However, the PE teacher or the secretary or these people that were hired there to do their jobs, there never was an expectation for them to put their lives on the line. Should they choose to do that, those actions are extremely heroic, because that was at no point part of your job description. However, being intimately familiar with law enforcement, you can't cover in a job description all the things we're going to be asked to do. Because my career, as an example, as a deputy sheriff, when I changed agencies, my job description as a deputy sheriff was pretty broad. And then I entered into a helicopter rescue unit that didn't have certain capabilities when I entered it. We got a new helicopter and now we have new capabilities, but my job description never changed. And yet in my job description, I now have the ability to enter a raging river to save somebody's life. Nobody ever updated my job description to go, oh, hey, guess what? Now you got this extra thing. But if I was standing there, or we're flying overhead in the helicopter, and I'm like, yeah, I'm a deputy sheriff. Oh, that doesn't, my job description doesn't cover that. You better call a fire department or a water rescue or what. Like, you don't get to do that kind of stuff in some of these careers.
For sure. Absolutely. But I think that's going back to the point I was trying to illustrate, that's the changing of the times where people are saying, legally, there's a precedent that you cannot require me to do things that I have not previously agreed to do.
Sure. Right? What we actually had to do was a clause when it came to actually just duties in the unit and stuff, and all other duties, because it's like somebody literally told us, it's not my job to sweep the hangar. You're talking to me right now, you're disciplining me, or you're actually counseling me on the fact that I'm not helping with these duties around the hangar. But that's not in the job description for a rescue specialist. And you're like, all other included duties.
Yeah, that's why, like in all our job positions, anywhere, you know, that I've been a manager, right? Uh-huh. It says included, but not limited to.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. It's like, okay, fine.
Right.
The fact you have to put that legalese in there,
right,
to protect yourself.
Right.
Because people, not saying all, right?
Right.
But the vocal minority is saying, I don't have to fucking do that shit. You can't, right, make me fucking do it. Right.
But I also want to clarify and point out that simply being a peace officer or firefighter or whatever else does not make you heroic, in my opinion. And some people might get mad at me for saying that, but just because you're driving around wearing that uniform doesn't make everything you do every day a hero. And I think people need to remember that in law enforcement is like, you're human. You are held to the same standard as everybody else. You shouldn't develop this hero complex because pretty much most of your career, you're just going to be doing the benign, mundane things. And so that in and of itself is not really heroic. Sitting and writing reports is not heroic. Writing tickets is not heroic. There's even all the gruesome stuff that's involved, taking death reports and doing all that stuff. That's not heroic to do that stuff. That is just really your job. There may be times in your career, though, that you're called on to rise to an occasion that you hoped you would always avoid, but because of your profession, you have a higher likelihood of being exposed to that. As a school bus driver, you shouldn't have these things confronted with you, but as a peace officer, there's a higher likelihood that you will be called on to act in ways that are above and beyond the norm. And I think this has been a conversation that I wanted to have for a long time. And here's how long it's been since 2004 that I've been thinking of this topic of heroicism and heroics and what that word means. And the reason is it's a very specific incident and it happened while I was at work. I was at the start of my shift. We had a workout program. So we got to work out the first hour of our shift for obvious reasons. It's a really good thing in law enforcement. And so I think I was working night shift because it was in the evening. And during our workout, the 2004, let me make sure I get it right, the 2004 ALCS Game 6, the Boston Red Sox, it was playing. And Curt Schilling was the pitcher at that time. And I remember them talking a lot about he had blood on his sock, on his ankle. And I'm like, yeah. So, and they really were talking about like he pitched a lot during the game and they were using the word hero. It's very heroic what he's doing now. And I was struck with the contrast of I'm starting my shift in law enforcement tonight and they're calling this fucking guy a hero for doing his job, but also for being a highly paid athlete. And then I would even take that out of it. A person like Curt Schilling that aspires to be what he is would tell you, I'm exactly where I want to be. So who cares if I have something going on with my ankle? And so not to belittle what he did have, he had originally ruptured a tendon or ruptured the sheath around one of the tendons in his ankle. Sounds very gruesome. I actually saw some pictures of the surgery and it was a pretty good incision that he had on his ankle. And it was starting to leak like it, you know, it wasn't fully healed, the incision. It had happened not too long before. And so, yeah, you could tell he was limping and he wasn't like happy about it or whatever. But to listen to the sportscasters and stuff call it heroic, I was like, wow. So today when I was doing some research for the show, I actually pulled up this incident and about Curt Schilling and what it was. So I want to make sure I knew who he was. I remembered that, but I had to figure out what game it was and stuff. And so they called that performance heroic. So I was pulling up what it actually was. And here, here's what the website I found. It was a sports website. It said Schilling famously threw 7 brilliant innings against the Yankees in game 6 of the American League Championship series and 6 more in game 2 of the World Series that season with blood seeping through his sock after procedures to stabilize an injured ankle. He became a hero in Boston for the gutsy performances that helped the Red Sox toward their first World Series win since 1918. And I was like, holy shit, I'm pulling up the article today that like he became a hero in Boston. Like hey, Boston, is that what it takes to be a hero? Like, I'm not going to go with that. Because then I did some further research and found out he made $12 million for that season and an additional $2 million for winning the World Series, winning the World Series. He actually negotiated his contract that I'm getting $12 million when I come over from, I think it was the Phoenix Diamondbacks. And if we win the World Series this year in 2004, I'm going to get an additional $2 million. So at the very minimum, he's out there limping around with his little bloody sock for an additional $2 million. I'm pretty sure I would do that as well and be like, yeah, fuck that ankle. Cut it off if you need to. It's $2 million. So not to downplay Curt Schilling and his sacrifice for Boston that year, but is that heroic?
By definition, yes.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because you fucking Googled it, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. Hit me.
Right.
Tell me what it is.
A person who is admired or idolized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities.
Okay.
It's all subjective.
Oh yeah, it is.
Right. And so I think
that's just the actual definition of it.
Yeah.
And see, I always throw in there. Yeah. But I think there should be a personal risk element to this.
Right. So you're advocating for the sense of better recognition of those that are making the greatest potential sacrifice.
Yeah.
So if you're not risking your life, it's not heroic.
Not necessarily risking your life, but injury to yourself.
Okay.
And that could be,
Political injury?
Yes. Okay. Personal injury. Or as your example of, somebody who's gay coming out to their family, let's hope under most circumstances in today's day and age, you're not at personal risk from your family. They're not going to kill you or hurt you or beat you. However, your emotional risk, like there can be an extreme emotional risk. Like you could be very damaged from this and not just in a physical sense, but there's gotta be, I feel like an element of risk physically or emotionally, like you might not come out of this the same and you will have to go through hell as a result.
So what about potentially further injuring his leg to the point where he may never be able to play again?
At the end of his career that he was, is that heroic?
So now we're being pretty discerning with the facts.
That's because I hold heroics to a high level of standards.
Okay. So for a guy
to make an extra $2 million to win the World Series, that's what he's playing for. He's also playing for the $12 million he already got paid, but he's playing for an additional $2 million at the end of his career. Like he knows this is probably his final contract.
You can't say he knows, right? Because
based on his age, he knew. Like
well, we don't know that. We don't know what his perception. People said the same thing about Tom Brady, right?
Sure.
And here he goes and wins another Super Bowl with the Bucks.
Okay. So let me clarify my point. At that point in your career, if that was a career ending injury, you could be like, I'm going to retire, even though I intended to go on 1 to 3 more years,
I can't
now because of my ankle,
but he's
not 22 years old, in college with a whole career ahead of him and an earning potential. And if he does that, he's likely to miss out on all of that.
So, and I understand your point, right? But you know, I'm advocating for the other side because what I really think the point that you're trying to make is that there needs to be an elevated version of the word hero or heroics that are defined by a different set of standards so that it's not used as a punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I definitely would agree. It's one of those things that's being overused that detracts from some of the amazing things that people do, and the people that are actually going out there risking life, liberty, you know, personal injury, things like that.
Yeah.
It detracts from them when you normalize a word that is meant to have great meaning.
Yeah. And I think of like the most common use. Somebody says like, "Oh, this person's whatever," and everybody goes, "Oh, he's my hero." Dan Bilzerian is a huge, but yeah, if you could see the look on Corey's face right now, is a huge, I would say, idol icon for a lot of, especially young men out there. And I think that word would be thrown around. Like you watch a post of Dan Bilzerian being his douchey self and somebody like in their 20s could go, "Oh, he's my hero. I would even like at a point in my life could have used that statement like, oh, he's my hero. He does all the shit I want to do. He shoots guns. He's got hot chicks that he pays to be around him all the time. And he's got a fucking beard I could never grow, even though he's a fucking moron. But like straight up, and please don't come fly to my house and beat me up, Dan Bilzerian, if you ever hear this podcast. But
his airplane got repoed. No,
so did it really?
I have no idea. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
For a variety of different
reasons. But seriously, like somebody could throw that out there. Like, he's my hero.
Which
is not wrong in the like this, but should that word aspire to be a little bit more?
I personally think so, yes. But I think one of the things that's happening is that especially communicating through digital mediums, mm-hmm. myself included, like you'll see it in my text messages in our group threads, right? Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit about my grammar. Like whatever is going to allow me to convey mm-hmm. close enough to what my thought is, that's what you guys are going to end up getting.
I have noticed that.
Right.
I meant to speak to you about that.
Yeah, that's fine. And I can tell you right now, I don't care. So, okay. But the point is, right, is one of my biggest issues is when people say, I feel instead of I think, mm-hmm. right? And I think it's the same thing where someone that could say, I idolize, I envy, I revere, I look up to that, mm-hmm. but the word hero is simple
right.
and it's widely used. Yep. So instead of thinking of a better noun or adjective to describe what that admiration is, hero is like the one size fits all solution.
You could say like, he's my idol,
right?
Cause that is truly like I idolize him.
Right.
That would be more appropriate.
Well, exactly. Right. Because if I sat down with you and we actually talked about heroes and what the definition is a hero, I doubt at the end of that conversation, most of those people would still say he's my hero.
Right.
Yeah. No, I look up to him. I want to obtain some of those goals, or I revere his ability to be this persona on the internet. Right.
Right.
And I think that is probably where one of the biggest issues with the word, or I guess we're saying misuse of the word hero is people not properly identifying what it is about that person in that situation that they're admiring.
Right. So, and here's another struggle that I have. If I'm going to further complicate this is, I was recommended and nominated, whatever you want to fucking call it, for a life-saving heroism award. We actually had, awards ceremonies, for the whole county and different agencies that did things like any employee, but mostly law enforcement during the year that had been involved in something that was above the norm. And and really what it was kind of just a dick measuring contest for each agency. Be like, oh shit, we got to nominate somebody because we don't have anybody this year, you know? And it's like, we don't want to be underrepresented at this award ceremony. So sometimes they're scraping the barrel. And the incident that I was involved in was a helicopter rescue. And a young man had been, kayaking, I guess you could call it. Well, he was kayaking, but he went off a waterfall intentionally and fucked it up, blew his back out. Unbeknownst to us, he had a punctured lung and some other stuff, which he likely would have died had we not rescued him. When we did, we found out later from the doctor, there was no way of knowing that. So all his friends knew he was really fucked up. So we were the only ones capable of doing a nighttime hoist rescue. So we went out, we did that. They hoisted me down. I packaged him up. We hoisted him back up, took him to a regular helicopter. To a air ambulance helicopter, and they took him down to the hospital locally, the trauma center. And that's where we found out how bad he really was and stuff. But so a couple months later, I'm walking by a lieutenant's office. He's like, hey, come here real quick. And I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he goes, hey, I need you to write something up. We're putting you guys in for that life-saving award, you know, for the, whatever the hero criteria is thing for it. And so I need something. I'm thinking like, well, first off, you don't even know what the fuck we did. So that's how little this actually means to you, but apparently we just need to be represented there. And this is a standout thing. So thanks for doing the research ahead of time to actually know what we did. And now I got to write my own damn thing. That is not me in any way. And then I talked to my other rescuer, a good friend of mine, and was like, hey, how do you feel about this? And he's like, I don't want to fucking go up there and accept that award. Like, I feel like a douche, you know? He mirrored my sentiments. Here's the problem I had with it. I don't think we did anything heroic. We had begged the county to buy this piece of equipment at great cost and sacrifice to everybody involved in that. It was a very terrible time to be buying a $4.2 million helicopter, in, what was that, 2008. like real bad. And so they did it. They gave us what we wanted. And then we got to get all the training that we needed to do this new mission. And we bought all the equipment to do it. And then we trained our asses off to do that. And all we did was go do exactly what we had said we needed the capability to do. So we used our skill set to go perform the thing that we said all along was going to be a capability. All we did was prove what we had been saying and did it professionally. I honestly don't feel as though at any point in time that I was in any extraordinary danger. Now, I can make the argument hanging by a 3/16-inch cable in the middle of the night below a helicopter is inherently fucking dangerous in and of itself. But when you train as much as you do for that and you mitigate all the risks as much as possible, it was just another thing. It was not even as harrowing as some training incidents we've been in. And so like we did what we're why put us in for a heroicism thing. And like literally like state senators and all the, well, we had proclamations written about us. I got all this shit in a bin somewhere. Like the amount of crap that got stuck in my box as a result of all this was astounding. Like you people are just falling all over yourselves to do that. Like, but that's what we're supposed to do. We did, like, we got that guy to a level of care that saved his life because that's our job to do that. Nobody else could. And so,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you ever do anything that you felt was heroic?
In
while you're so as operated as a sheriff's deputy or what have you?
That's a tough one to answer. I did. There, just one incident that I right off the only thing out of the top of my head that I could picture. Yeah.
So,
and now here's the difference to slightly put a spin on that. Do I know anybody that did heroic things in that? Fuck yeah, I know a lot of people that did a lot of like holy shit
now,
stuff.
Do they feel that they did something heroic?
Probably not.
Right. So you can look at, did you ever have the opportunity to read or listen to Matt Best's book, Thank You for My Service?
No, I need to.
Audible it. Don't read it because he narrates it. And amazing. And he adds some more stuff to it. So I have both. And the Audible version's awesome.
All right.
His book is titled Thank You for My Service. Mm-hmm. I didn't do any heroic shit. Mm-hmm. Taxpayers spent a fuck ton of money mm-hmm. putting me through all this awesome training mm-hmm. and giving me all these badass toys to go use around the world and mm-hmm. to do something that he enjoyed. You could look at a guy like Dakota Myers, mm-hmm. right? Medal of Honor recipient. Mm-hmm. Does he think he did anything heroic? No.
All right.
He was doing his fucking job. Mm-hmm. He was doing what he would hope someone else would do for himself. Mm-hmm. Those are simple people that are pretty widely available in the public eye that I think by 90% of the population's standards, they had many heroic actions, mm-hmm. you know, over an extended period of time. It wasn't just like one incident.
Sure.
Those guys don't characterize themselves as heroic. So I think it's difficult because if you're doing those things, you're not doing it for yourself, mm-hmm. most likely. And you've already, to your point, you've already accepted the risk associated with whatever it is you're doing. You knowingly entered into that agreement to work on the helicopter unit, you know,
right.
and these various things or to be a patrol officer or to work for the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. So you're doing a job. Right. You're going to get your fucking coffee the same as someone else. There's days you're not going to want to go to fucking work, mm-hmm. you know, because you have a badge and a gun. Right. That makes you so much different of a person. You're still the same fucking guy. Mm-hmm. You know, so you walk into the store, you're probably not going to be any different. Right. You know, I mean, unless you're bowing your arm out because you're used to fucking carrying around your belt, you know, those simple little cues. But so that's the hard part. Right. And so I guess what I'd like to understand, and I think what might be useful for the people listening to this podcast is, why is this topic important now?
Because I think that word gets thrown around. I'll read you another quote from Mr. Crenshaw. Not all heroes are created equal. The problem with today's society is that it is swelling with the wrong role models. Sometimes we mistakenly look up to and emulate the wrong heroes entirely, abandoning traditional heroes for new and exciting villains who represent self-indulgent, loudmouth commentary, angry fist-shaking activism, or insulting spitfire politics.
Yeah. So now let's go back to our, what's episode 11, Icons?
Yes. And 12.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And
with my kids' perspective on icons.
So now we could go back to Miss Cardi B, right? And a lot of people would say she's heroic. It's heroic to clap your ass on YouTube.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I think to your point, it's one of those things that is just mischaracterized to where now I think, like, if I ask my son right now, I don't think he has a hero. Right. I don't even think he would affiliate that word with anyone. Right. Unless Captain Marvel. Right. Sure. Maybe, or Captain America, I should say, not Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, I think, you know, at least when I was growing up, and I'm sure when you were growing up, there was people that you revered. There was people that, for what I guess you and I would justify as rightfully so reasons, were put in the public eye, and you admired that person and their actions or their integrity.
Yeah. Like a John Wayne, like, he's a little bit before my time probably, but a John Wayne or Clint Eastwood always portray, not always, but was the portrayal of a hero archetype, you know, like, how do you pronounce that word? I'm going to just throw that out there. So I don't archetype.
I don't know.
Archetype. Archetypical.
No idea.
Son of a bitch.
Should put that in the show description, like the phonetic spelling of that.
Yeah. Can anybody please write into the show? Shit. If we had callers right now, we could totally, you just noticed that for the first time, didn't you?
Yeah. That's weird. He's my hero.
Yeah. So because this is radio and you all can't see it, over on my wall, so, we're going to do video at some point there of these and you'll be able to see it. But, there is, I had a drawing done by a guy that I found on Instagram that does drawings of people, but he puts guns in and like actual tactical situations of it. And, it's Willy Wonka with a handgun and at the bottom, it says you get nothing, you lose, good day, sir. And he's got like a handgun with a red dot sight on it and stuff. It's very well done too. What I didn't notice until I hung that up, I've had that picture for almost a year now, and I didn't notice till I hung it up, he's got a fucking tourniquet on his left arm there, and and he's bleeding. So Mr. Wonka has been shot here. And I mean, like, there's a great example. He in the movie is portrayed as a hero. He is this mystical figure and, you know, and kind of comes across at times as a villain and a hero as well. So you love that, don't you?
No, I do. It's funny, right? Cause it's like, okay, appendix carry.
Yeah.
He's probably going to get a nasty slide bite if he doesn't move his thumb down.
He's even got the, he might be flicking off the, whatever you call it. The fucking whatever. He's even got the Mean Gene the belt. I actually have that belt. It's an Aegis slide belt thing. Like, the detail on it's awesome from a tactical community thing. Yeah. So we'll have to post a picture of that so people know what the fuck we're talking about on our Instagram.
Yeah, I scrolled over to the left and I was enamored by that.
Yeah, I've been wanting to hang that up for a long time. So now that we got in the new office, we're there. But Willy Wonka actually, I mean, that was part of the thing in that was that he was a hero for the children and for Charlie. Like, he was his hero and was on this odd journey to become that, but kind of really did some heroic type stuff in essence there. To go back to that question that you asked me, if I considered anything I did in my career heroic or if I
knew on the incident. Job.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's how I would want to answer that. With I knew that there was a possibility that I would be called to do things outside of the ordinary for law enforcement. Even though it seems like we're always involved in shootings and stuff like that, it's still it's a really rare occurrence, despite what the media hypes all this stuff as. And especially depending on what agency you work for, I think there's a frequency of how you could, like, if you work for LAPD, you are definitely going to be inserted into far more difficult things in your career, possibly, unless you take a track to avoid that stuff. But you have the likelihood, just based on frequency down there, of being involved in some more shit than an extremely rural. I'll use Sierra County by us. I think they have like 8 deputies total for the whole place. So like the sheriff does patrol and then they all take turns working in the jail and one of them dispatches for the night. So it's extreme. I don't think anything happens up in Sierra County ever, hardly ever. And so you're the possibility of being called to do anything extraordinary in your career is much lower than that. But all I hoped to do in my career was, if faced with those circumstances, to hold myself to the level of the heroes that I actually know exist, not to be that person that I know of in other incidences where we were all ashamed to know that person and how they comported themselves, where their cowardice actually reared its head and showed us what we all suspected to be true. That was true. They were actually cowards. And so the incident that I think of when you asked me that question, and I struggled with it because I don't feel that I did anything heroic in it. But what I specifically wanted to convey was, as weird as this sounds, I don't want it to be egotistical, but I wanted to portray the image of a hero for this young man who I came in contact with that day, because I hoped, as he navigated life with the instance that happened to him, basically, him and his mom went rafting. They bought a Kmart inflatable raft and went rafting down a really heinous area where they should have never been, below a dam, and flipped almost immediately. His mom got stuck over a rock and he managed to get out of the water, and he watched her drown, like right in front of him. He could see her under the water, and she drowned in front of him. He's screaming and crying and can't get to his mom. He's trying to kind of get in the river, and some bystanders on the bank pulled him away and stuff. And he just kind of goes screaming and terrified and kind of just disappears downriver. And the people are calling in and are like, yeah, he's gone. Like, this is where it happened. And so we come flying up the canyon looking for him. And we found him, like, it was a good half a mile or more downriver in some boulders, and you know, 8-9 year old boy standing there on the rocks, just screaming and terrified. And so we did what's called a hover step. I got out of the helicopter just by opening the door and one skid on there and got out to get him. Our helicopter at the time, we were not capable of getting back in it safely because of the way the doors operated. So the CHP helicopter came in and they had sliding doors on it, and they could get me back off that rock with him. So I threw him in the helicopter and grabbed him and was holding on to him. And I remember the pilot turning and looking at me. He was a friend of mine, and he was just like shaking his head. I'm like, yeah, it's literally as bad as you think it is. This kid's like fucked beyond belief, you know? And I just remember, as we landed and as I hung out with him the rest of the afternoon, number one, how resilient kids are. By the end of the afternoon, he was kind of playing and smiling, and it kind of, his mind had moved on from that moment of trauma for at least that time period. But I remember it being really incredibly important to portray a picture of strength and resolve for him, for all of us that were involved with him, because of what he had gone through. And I didn't want him to be surrounded by weakness in that time, as he, you know, met up with family for the rest of the day and chaplains and all that stuff. So that's when you ask that question of me, that's, I'm like searching my brain and I'm like, God, dude, I don't really think, I mean, yeah, we're all involved in shit, but I don't really think any of it that I had the opportunity. That's the only one that could come to mind. And it wasn't really because, again, nothing I did was inherently dangerous. We practiced that maneuver a lot. We got out, did it, got back in another helicopter. It wasn't that big a deal, but
it sounds like it was personally a meaningful action.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
aside from saving them, right? But sure, being that stoic, like that strength, that, mm-hmm, hey, shit's hitting the fan, right? You, yeah, always look for the calm person in the room or the, yeah, situation, you know, and in that moment you were that for him.
Yeah. In Dan Crenshaw's book, he also references another book. It's called Heroes, What Do They Do and Why We Need Them. I'm sorry, What They Do and Why We Need Them. And it's great 8 traits of heroes that this book lays out. Smart, strong, selfless, caring, charismatic, resilient, reliable, and inspiring. So referencing Miss B, young Miss Cardi, I let's go through those words. Smart.
Comparatively, she's
smart for what she's done with herself and her image. Like, she has now, she has made herself a damn near household name. I don't know on an intelligence level whether I could, I've listened to her. If I want to refer back to what we were talking to when she interviewed Mr. Sanders and now President Biden. Did she portray herself as smart? No, but maybe that was actually her being smart because she's playing her character.
Yeah, it's her angle.
Maybe that's that smart of her. Strong, I think a lot of people would say she's strong and a lot of people wouldn't. When we have this conversation with my daughter coming up on a future episode about Cardi B's influence on young women and does she empower women, I think maybe we'll be able to answer that a little bit better. Selfless, I don't know if I can make that argument for her. I want to. I don't know her charitable donation status. The selfless thing, I think, would be that kind of lends more towards that there's an element of personal danger, whether it be emotional or physical, that selfless, where I do these things without regard for myself. Caring, yeah, maybe to the people that know her, she's caring. Charismatic, sure as fuck that, you know, like she's enamored 90 plus million people with her Grammy winning vagina. So, yeah, resilient.
Those are her words, by the way.
That's true. Yeah.
The Grammy winning vagina, like that's not a shot at her.
True.
Those are her words.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, that's from, if you it's haven't listened to
our, be like, that's a dick thing to say. No, those are her words.
Yeah, that's her tagline in her Instagram bio when we were researching her for a prior episode. So yeah, we are only giving her due regard. Resilient. I could make an argument for that. I think she had a less than stellar upbringing and bounced back through some adversity, whether some of it's self-created or not. I don't really know. Reliable and inspiring. I don't know. Is Cardi B reliable? She reliably puts out shitty music. I'm sorry. I'm saying that. I listen to the goddamn songs just the same as all of you too. So here and there. And inspiring to 90 million people.
Yeah.
And apparently she got way more on TikTok. When you listen to that episode that my daughter and I did, and she knows all the TikTok stats. Like, so maybe I just made the case for Miss B to be a hero.
Right. So it's,
God damn, I hate myself right now.
I know. So that's, that was kind of the point that I was trying to make a while ago, right? Is that it's open for interpretation. And if you were looking for those qualities and whether it's, I want to be able to climb 20 feet up a fucking stripper pole and I want to be able to come down without my hands, right? Like whatever it is, whatever the maneuver is on.
You have no idea how I just visualized that as I was crossing something out of my notes and you said, no, you, because all I heard was you wanted to be able to do that. And I looked up at you and was like, part of me wants to see it.
That's a large pole. That's a big sturdy. I hope it's a sturdy pole.
Does it got those guy wires on it, like big radio antennas on just to keep it, give it some stability?
Nah, that's not in the budget. I'm just going to. So it's a one-time
thing. We're just putting drywall screws in the top and hoping it holds.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be on it long, but no, so
you're coming down that thing, like one of those, hydraulic pile driver things.
Oh, that's
setting pier pilings.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. But one time, only one time.
One time.
I'll pay
money for that.
But so that's the hard part, right? So I guess is the point that you're trying to make that society has a reverence. Mm-hmm. For things that maybe we shouldn't because of how things are being marketed and portrayed to people?
Yeah, maybe. But I think it's also important to understand the hero genre or archetype. I don't know how that word is pronounced, so I'm really sorry for all you people that do.
That sounded right.
Archetype. Heroes have existed since the beginning of time and all stories, you know, there are heroes that's the theme in so many movies. It's the, we want to create these things and have these heroes to guide us and to set things. That was a lot of what Dan Crenshaw was talking about in that chapter is helping you navigate life, deciding who are your heroes and how do you start to emulate the traits that make them heroic, whether it is the John Wayne or Cardi B. God damn, I hate myself for saying that in the exact same sentence. But, you know, I'm going to throw it out there for him. For Miss B, she is probably a hero for lots of young women out there, maybe even young men. I don't know. Like, if that's where your life is and that's what you aspire to be and you take some sort of thing from her message and of empowerment and WAP and all that stuff, then yeah, hey, maybe that's the best message you've ever got in your life. And that's a whole other podcast topic on why, but hey, maybe there's a culture and a class of people out there that have never had anything else instilled in them, and they're listening to her message and watching her fame and stardom and her, how she grew up and what she's attained, and go like, fuck, I hope I could do that someday too. And who am I to say that's wrong at this point in time?
Yeah, no, it's, do you want me to read the definition of a hero archetype?
Uh-huh.
All right. Oh, hold on. Sorry. And no, hit the wrong button.
Yeah. Delete, enhance.
So, a hero and archetypical motif based on overcoming obstacles and achieving certain goals. The hero's main feat is to overcome the monster of darkness. It is the long hoped for and expected triumph of consciousness over unconsciousness.
Yeah. I mean, it's the tale as old as time. And in every story that resonates with people is, it has that as a basis in there, in all of it. I mean, Star Wars, just, I mean, go down the list. It is a theme in culture, and it's not just Western culture. It's all cultures.
Yeah. So then I think one of maybe the root cause of this issue is like a deprecation of values, right? Where we're as a society, we're regressing, and the concern is why.
Sure.
And if we continue to amplify these things that maybe notably should not be revered as heroic, we will continue to maintain that slide.
Sure.
And at what point do we end up with no heroes, where everyone becomes a hero, right? Then it becomes like a participation fucking trophy. Well, I got up today and I put my big point pants on, so I'm a fucking hero in my own regard.
And if I'm going to make that argument, maybe what Kurt Schilling did was heroic in that sense, you know, that I couldn't speak intelligently on whether he would have gotten paid the exact same, whether he showed up for that game or not. If he said, hey, I got my team here through the season, we are in the playoffs now. My ankle hurts. It's bleeding. I had stitches all the way up it. And so you guys got this. I'm going to sit here and cheer you on. And if you make it to the World Series and you win the World Series, then I get my extra $2 million anyways. I don't think that as that just goes, lends itself to how much of a competitor are you? Any person that I know that I would look to as a hero in competition would go, I don't care what's fucking happening. If I can make it, if I can drag myself to the mound and stand upright and fall and obey all the rules of not being propped up by a crutch or whatever, I am going to be in that game because I don't want to put this on anybody else's shoulders. Then yeah, I could start to see that side of things and go like, yeah, he drug his ass out there. He knew a lot of the success of this team rested on his abilities. That's why they hired him. That's what he came to Boston to do. I mean, in looking at the articles during that time period, doing some research today, that's what he went there to do, was to help them win that. And so, and then shit went a little awry for him. He needed to have this surgery, and I'm sure he had every right to sit out and nobody would have held it against him, but he was like, no, that's not what I'm here to do. And so let me put my bloody sock on and go out there and do it. But
yeah. And it's hard too, because like in today's leading class, right, or people that you would identify as leaders, right, like public figures, things like that.
Right.
There's not a lot of heroism there, right? It's, you know, there's not a lot of good examples, right? These people, like, I don't want to get political or anything, but it's, these people are acting as dictators, right? They are implementing an agenda and not necessarily representing the people, right? And they're not exposing themselves. They're not taking risk, where you could say like a person like Dan Crenshaw is constantly, right? You know, that has nothing to do with his military career. It's the way he positioned himself and he advocates for the things that he believes in.
Yeah.
Where other people are literally trying to facilitate their own personal agenda.
Yeah.
So,
I would, we don't typically like to try to turn this into a big political bashing session, but, I think everybody knows what our affiliations are and where we trend towards, but we're trying to be super inclusive on this. But I would use Miss Ocasio-Cortez, on however you pronounce her name, and AOC, as she's very well known, and what she's currently doing in Twitter. And I think a lot of her stuff is again, it's hype. She's promoting herself. She knows how to stay at the front of conversations. She's going to be an irrelevant shit stain in history, hopefully, at some point, in case anybody was not aware where I stood on her. Hopefully, but you never know. I think she knows how to work the system now. She was propped up by that. Never mind. I'm not going to go down that path because that does get super political.
Yeah.
She's elected. She got elected for, we won't even talk about why at this point, but she was elected and she very well knows how to stay relevant in the Twitter sphere. She knows how to work that system and keep her name on the tip of everybody's tongue. And so in doing so right now, she's comparing herself to her being present during the riots of January 6th at the Capitol. And I'll call them very clearly that was a riot situation and that should not have happened. It was disgraceful. Who was there and who was perpetrating it? It all remains to be seen, if ever. For the people that went in and stormed the Capitol, I have no respect for you for doing that in that fashion. That's not how America is supposed to work. I do understand the frustration behind it. I get why the sentiment was that way. Again, who actually went in there is still subject to debate, whether it was Trump supporters or paid actor type people. And when I say actors, I'm not talking about Hollywood types. I'm talking about known antagonists that are known to every agency out there that deals with these protests. The same people show up all the time and they're paid by people to go be assholes. And so whether those are the people that showed up and did it, who cares? However, people stormed the Capitol. It was a blight in our history a little bit. Yet she is claiming that her and her colleagues that were subject to that, it's like serving in a war zone, and she's seeking therapy for that and a lot of other fallout from that. And so I would put it out there that there is a group of people that feel that her actions were heroic being present that day, that her life was in danger, that she, it's heroic that she even chooses to go back to that place, given the fact that she survived that trauma. I have such a fucking hard time saying all those words, but I'm trying to say the other side of it. Cause I'm trying to acknowledge that. And I really do hope at some point that we reach out to people that are on the opposite side of a spectrum that Corey and I are on. I'm not saying that like we're Rain Man here counting fucking matchsticks and shit spectrum, but like that don't see the world that we do. Cause I think it's important to try as hard as you can to put yourself in other people's shoes, even though I can't, cause I'm not that person. But I, as I say those things, I know that there are enough people out there to matter. There is a significant percentage of people out there to say, no, she was moments away from death and you know, the fact that she still carries it on, that's heroic.
Yeah. She's selfless in her act of continuing to be a public servant in spite of things that took place and she was exposed to.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like she doesn't let everybody know it every second of every day, but still, like that's what we're talking about here. And is that, here's where it just, I'll just be blunt. It rubs me wrong when there are people that are actually serving in war. My brother, currently one of them in Kuwait, currently stationed over there and doing things possibly at times in harm's way. And so to put yourself on that level, no, I'm not going to say that. Here's another example. This might I might get some hate mail out of this. There's a radio ad locally here in the Sacramento region that talks about frontline healthcare workers. And it starts off, I just heard it yesterday, the day before. Again, I've heard it lots of times, where it starts off talking about and the events of 9/11 and the service to the country since then, and the people that have been heroes for all the different reasons surrounding 9/11. And the ad basically says, and in the same fashion, our frontline healthcare workers stepped over this last year in battling COVID in the same ways. And I'm like, ooh, right now, knowing what we know right now, I changed the channel when I heard that commercial. I was like, I can't put the two together. I can't rectify that.
This is, okay, my opinion is, these issues and these, I don't even know how I want to say it, volatile, difficult, ostracizing topics, right, are simply fueled by a feeling society instead of a thinking society.
Mm-hmm.
I feel these things, therefore they are these things, mm-hmm. instead of statistically looking at what the numbers yeah. are. And when you draw the comparisons,
microaggressions numbers. And things like that, I feel that I am being harmed. Like, I'm not trying to downplay. I do believe there is a group of people that think that if we say words to them, they feel as though they're being harmed. I'm not going to deny that. You can yeah. see it on their face.
What is it, like Munchausen syndrome or something, where you can actually believe you can manifest things like ailments within your body by thinking and focusing so intently?
That very might be, yeah. I know, like a hypochondriac, but I think it is yeah. called Munchausen.
Yeah.
Munchausen. It's not Stockholm syndrome. That's where you get kidnapped and then you fall in love with your kidnapper.
Yeah.
Way different.
I know. I can't remember when that happened to you, but.
Stockholm syndrome?
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably like three times in my life.
I know. So, but you know, it's when we depart from the critical thinking component, mm-hmm. the rationalization, the civil discourse, mm-hmm. right, which is obviously, you know, the tone that we always try to have within these podcasts. It's difficult when you don't have someone that may have a contrasting perspective here to respond mm-hmm. within the real time of the conversation. We'll definitely get at that point. But you can't depart. You can't ignore the facts.
Right.
Right. You know, and when I have those conversations, and it's hard because the side of the aisle that I reside on, it doesn't exist, right? Right. I have my own ideas of what it should be. And I have very little faith in people, especially people in a leadership capacity. Mm-hmm. I definitely find it troublesome when 1,000 people have the capacity to lead 330 million people mm-hmm. and try to influence the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. When you can apply that same logic to a fairly large organization and those leaders don't have that level of gall or arrogance into thinking that they can influence their employees
right.
in the same fashion that you can manipulate people through legislation and things like that. So it's, I don't disagree with the idea of a utopian society and equality for all, mm-hmm. right? I just don't trust people to facilitate it because someone's going to want their own shit. The same fucking asshole that cuts you off because he doesn't want to let you in the fucking lane, even though it's a construction, right? And he's willing to
three cars ahead of you.
Yeah.
That's like, all he got.
I got a fucking, I'm beating this motherfucker, right? Yeah, it's the same fucking guy that's going to fucking, you know, take an extra fucking loaf of bread or uh-huh. whatever it is, right? Uh-huh. These are these people that are.
Well, look at the start of COVID. Everybody went and bought all the toilet paper.
Fuck.
You didn't need it. You just fucking did it. And you didn't
care. Those are the real heroes. The stock boys that fucking were out there fucking pushing the pallet of fucking toilet paper to the fucking
overcome.
Yeah.
Just they really were. Yeah. 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 Those big behemoths coming at them in fucking Costco. Like, yeah, you could have gotten trampled.
Oh yeah. Fucking Karen's going to mow your ass over.
Fuck
with
yeah.
oversized shopping
cart. Yeah. For those 12 like cases of toilet paper that you didn't need.
Yeah.
Like,
you're going to have a Kurt Schilling's fucking injury. She's going to catch you in the back of the Achilles with the fucking cart and take you down. And everyone's just going to fucking run over the top of you. Next thing you know, fucking, all right, well, there goes fucking Jimmy. But he was our fucking hero.
I would have said I would have had a hero's homecoming for him at that time
what a shitty way to go. Just get fucking mowed down by a bunch of Karens and their hoofs.
Trampled over to toilet paper. Not even good like it was a fucking concert or a soccer match or something like that and your team won and you just go out on a high. You're just there to get more shit paper than you needed and somebody else that wanted even more than that tramples your ass like a horde of toilet paper motherfuckers.
Shit tickets.
Yeah. And I hope all those people I wish toilet paper expired so these people would have just been sitting on it and it just went to waste. we digressed hard there. I would throw out something else too, because I've been sitting here trying to pick up examples of people that put themselves at you know, risk socially and stuff. Not physically, because not too many people are called on to be in a Dakota Meyer situation or something like that. But like, you look at, if we want to throw a party out there, there's Trump supporters and there's rabid Trump supporters. And look at any Republican right now that is going against anything involving Trump, Mitt Romney, a couple others out there, that they're putting their political career, which in essence is their whole everything. They are nothing unless they are a politician. They're putting that on the line for their ideals, which hopefully their ideals are supposed to represent the people that they're there to represent. We know that's not always true, but like, that's a, they're throwing themselves out there at drawing the ire of the angry mob and of the angry Twitter, you know, poorly written tweets. He can't tweet anymore, can he?
Who?
Trump.
He's on any social media platforms. They took him off everything. He got banned from shit he was never on.
You think he could still be on MySpace?
Ooh. Tom probably needs a friend.
I need to log back onto the MySpace and see if Trump's been there, like just fucking spouting shit the whole time.
I know. There's so
him and Tom are just talking back and forth. I was like, God damn, he's even got his own wallpaper and everything.
Fuck Zuckerberg for banning me on Facebook and fucking Jack Dorsey. Yeah, it's fucking, it's terrible. But I think at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
And this is totally seriously not serious. We just need to make a new word. We need to find a word that amplifies the word hero. And then you just submit it on Wikipedia. It's a fucking thing. And you just make the change you seek. Because if you don't like something, you just make it whatever you want.
Be the change you seek.
Ooh.
That means you got to come up with this word.
Yeah. So I guess we're stuck with hero.
Let's just not overuse that word. Let's just be careful. I guess the whole point of today is let's be careful with that word. Let's have it mean something. It should be valuable like a dollar. It shouldn't just be casually thrown about. And we should honor that word and make sure we're applying it somewhat appropriately.
Yeah. And to add to that is we should be mindful of the words that we use and the context in which they're used.
Words matter.
They do matter. I mean, it's how we communicate.
They words should matter. Words should matter when they're coming out of your mouth. If we get back to the days of like, if you're not careful with the words you choose, you could get smacked in the mouth. I think we'd all be a lot more careful with the words we choose to use.
Oh yeah. My parents would catch a case now. I fucking ain't touching me now. I'm going to call somebody and they're going to get your ass.
I'm going to wrap it up with this quote from Mr. Crenshaw in his book, Fortitude. I find myself watching public debates and observing the national discourse and wondering with frustration, does society still value the deep sense of personal responsibility that I fucked that one up. I apparently didn't write what he put in his book. Does society still value the deep sense of personal responsibility that comes, I don't know what the words were, that deem our American, what the fuck? I'm going on to the next one. Do we still value the mental test? Do we still value the mental toughness that empowers us to be personally responsible in the first place? Are we looking up to those who exhibit these qualities, or are we casting them aside in favor of the loud, angry, and ignorant?